Hey, hockey heads, get ready for the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Each game day, answer four questions. Pick the winning team, guess if points will be over or under, predict the first goal, and choose the highest scoring period. Daily winners snag gift cards, while each round's champs pocket cold, hard cash. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess. It's fast, it's fun, and it's all about hockey. Let's go!
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the DFO Rundown Podcast with Frank Saravalli and Jason Greger on dailyfaceoff.com. Delivered by DoorDash.
Welcome to episode 125, the playoff preview edition of the DFO Rundown. I'm Jason Greger alongside Frank Saravalli. And I'm not going to lie, Frank, I am amped up for the playoffs. I can't wait for the first puck drop tonight, Boston and Carolina, the first game. Get going at, let's be honest, who knows what time it is, 7:08, 7:10, 7:12. There's no clue what time the game starts, but we know it's after 7 Eastern time. How you doing?
I am good. Yeah. Take this schedule and shoot it right into my veins every other day, every series. So you don't have any wacky two off days. Everyone's dealing with the same thing no matter what. I love it. I'm so excited to get this rolling. It feels like we've been building to this for months now. And, you know, especially after a relatively drama-free Eastern Conference, it's going to be bananas to watch the Atlantic Division slugfest and then see what's going on in the West, if there's any upsets.
At 203 days since opening day of the regular season, it's obviously been a little bit longer due to COVID delays and then, of course, the Olympic break and everything else. But we're finally here and I'm pumped about it. There's lots of storylines I want to get to, Frank. So let's dive right in and let's start in the Atlantic Division, where you have the President's Trophy, the number one seed, the Florida Panthers taking on the Washington Capitals, and also potentially the return of Aaron Ekblad in game one.
Yeah, it's Ekblad got a little Norris Trophy love for me. I put him in on the last and fifth spot on my ballot because I just felt like his season and how good it was needed to be recognized. 57 points in 61 games, a guy that really has become a complete defenseman. And there's been a lot of up and downs in his career, ups and downs, specifically with regard to injury. And now this is just sort of one more spot that he needs to overcome. The Panthers have some question marks potentially in net with their goaltending. I've seen tons of social media criticism about Sergei Bobrovsky and playoff Bob. I think maybe that's the only focal point for the Panthers, aside from Ekblad coming back, because otherwise this team is just an absolute juggernaut offensively.
Oh, yeah, that to me is what separates them. I actually had Mackenzie Weegar on my Norris ballot late, the teammate of Aaron Ekblad. So there's two guys who obviously you get them both in the lineup. And, you know, even if Ekblad's going to need a few games to, you know, to get up to speed, I like the offensive depth of the Florida Panthers. It's the best in the NHL. I understand the concerns about goaltending, but the problem is, does Washington have goaltending that makes you say, wow, we think our goalies are going to out-duel Florida. That's why I just, Washington, to me, this is a bad matchup for the Washington Capitals. I think they're a little bit older of a team against just the deepest group. If it's not Florida, then it's probably St. Louis, 1-9 as far as forwards go. And I just, Huberdeau's been on fire, but Barkov in this series, Frank, I think he's going to be a massive difference maker for the Florida Panthers.
He always is. I mean, that guy shows up to play every time. It may not, you know, the biggest impact may not be on the score sheet necessarily, but his complete game is what's really going to help the Panthers when it comes to playoff time. My concern for the Caps is really they've been all over the place. You mentioned their age, and in some ways that experience can be valuable, having won a Stanley Cup previously. They're not going to be a team that I think is going to be easily rattled, but I really thought that they were hitting their stride in like mid-April. They seemed to be a team that was kind of putting it all together at the exact right time. And then their last 10 days or 2 weeks of the season were so disappointing. They looked lifeless at times. I just don't see this team having the ability to flip the switch and get back to the group that they were for stretches this season. I don't know if there's been a more confounding team in the NHL this season in terms of, you know, the different shades of it that we've seen. You might be able to argue the Oilers, but I think the Caps have been way more Jekyll and Hyde than that. And going up against a team like the Panthers, there's just no room for error. There's no margin for error. So I've got the Panthers in six, but I could see it being a shorter series than that.
Yeah, I have the Panthers in five. I look, you know, they got 9-15 goal scorers. They got 10-40 point players on that team. They're the number one offense. And if we go by goals against, I understand the concern about that. But Florida and Washington were exactly tied in goals against per game in the regular season at 2.95. The difference was the Florida Panthers scored almost a full goal a game more. But I will say this, Frank, it's going to be a high scoring series. All these games this year, the three head-to-head matchups, they were all 5-4, 5-4, 4-3 games. And I think you're going to see whatever the over is in a lot of the games, Frank, or sorry, the line, I'd be taking the over. But I'll take the Panthers in five and the over in probably 80% of the games.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. Is there any avenue for an upset for the Caps?
I don't see it. Florida, they've got a long playoff drought, Frank. I don't see any way they extend their playoff drought this year. I'm not saying like, now granted, I admit it. I picked Florida at the start of the season to win the cup. So I'm riding the Panther and I will continue that. I think the Panthers are going to go on a deep run. Obviously, and that once you get later in the series, you get against the better teams, it's harder, but I think Washington's a really good matchup for Florida in the first round to maybe get rid of some of those postseason jitters, you know, because Barkov and Huberdeau and Ekblad, they've never won a playoff series.
I'm with you. I spent the entire weekend saying to myself, okay, no one saw the Columbus Blue Jackets coming in 2019.
Hedman was hurt, though.
And it was a sweep. So like, what is there a series this year in which one of the first round series in which one of the massive favorites, you know, may just not see it coming?
I think so. And we'll get to that later. Okay. I do think is one for me. Is there for you?
Not in the first round.
Okay.
But I think in the second.
I have a top seed in a division losing. So we'll get to that.
All right. Well, let's go to the Leafs and Lightning.
Now, this is a series, Frank, that obviously you've got the two-time defending champs. And it's hard to pick against the two-time defending champs when the opposition is a team that in the last, and I'm a big believer, Frank, I look at season numbers, but then I really dig in on the last few months of the season because I think that's more what a team does in October. I don't think has as much impact as what a team does in March and April. And the Toronto Maple Leafs, they can score with anyone. They you want to get run and gun, they will match you, no problem. The challenge is Jack Campbell in the last 3 months has a save percentage under 900. The Maple Leafs are 23rd in the NHL in goals against since February 1st. And now you're going up against a Tampa team where even if you think, okay, we'll tighten it up. Yeah. But is Campbell going to match Vasilevsky in goal? Right. I think Toronto's This is the worst possible first round matchup for the Leafs. Honestly believe that. They would have much rather have Boston. Even I know Boston's beat them the last few years, but I just think this is a terrible matchup for Toronto. Victor Hedman, McDonough, Cernak, that huge hulking blue line in Tampa Bay. I don't see how Toronto is going to outscore their porous defense in this series.
I don't know that we could see this any differently. Obviously, it's hard to pick against the two-time defending champs for a lot of reasons. You hit on some of them. I think this is actually the best matchup that the Leafs could have asked for.
Okay. How come?
Purely mentally. If they play against the Boston Bruins in round one, they're the favorite. They're supposed to win the series. They're carrying all the weight that they've had of these last 5 years. And it's overwhelming, I think. Not to mention the collapses that they've had against the Bruins. The Lightning, no one's really, not to say that they're not expecting them to win. They're not being picked often to win.
Yeah.
And they're sort of at this point playing with house money in the sense that if you lose, there's no shame in it really for the Leafs. And like, I don't think there's going to be some massive overhaul where they start firing people from their front office into the sun. I just don't see it. On paper, the Leafs have been just as good as the Lightning this season. And I feel like the big question mark you mentioned in net, you kind of cherry picked some of the numbers, I feel like, on Jack Campbell. Because he missed a month, and since he came back to close out the season, he went 7-0-2 with a .915. I mean, if you look at the Leafs' record this season, when they get .900 goaltending or better, it's like through the roof. Their big wall that they hit was because Jack Campbell played a significant stretch, and Peter Mrazek did at like .875, .880. You can't win. You can't even come close to that. So their record with .900 or better has been unreal. They're not asking Jack Campbell to be .915, although he showed that for the last month of the season. I think if they just get average goaltending from Jack Campbell, that they're going to be very competitive. And I have the Leafs winning in six.
All right. I love it. Well, if we all agree, to be boring as hell. I guess my concern is just, I look at Toronto's defense and I look at Tampa's defense. And I think Tampa Bay's defense, and especially the last few years in the postseason. Now maybe this year offense is up significantly across the board. Maybe that continues in the postseason. But I look at Andre Vasilevsky, man, come playoff time in Tampa Bay. And, you talked about the 2019 Lightning. When they lost, Hedman was a shadow. He only played two games. He was hurt. That's when he got walked by David Savard, of all people, because he couldn't turn. He couldn't skate. And, man, I look at Hedman and I'm like, can Toronto? I think Toronto can score with most teams. But the problem is the Tampa Bay Lightning, it's hard to outscore the Lightning. Right? Like Kucherov and Point, and Steven Stamkos had 100 points for the first time in his career.
If there's one team that can do it, though, it's the Leafs.
Yeah. Well, or Florida.
I think.
Yeah.
And Florida. But I'm saying in this first round, it's Florida or the Leafs, and they got one of them. Like the Leafs have a shot to at least keep pace with the Lightning and goals.
Yeah. Fair, but do they have a shot to keep pace defensively? And that's where I think they fall short, unfortunately. I think Tampa Bay, I have Tampa in six games. I think it's a close series, but I just think the Tampa Bay, ultimately, I like their goaltending defense better.
I just think it'd be, if this team could finally slay the Dragon in the first round, to do it against the Lightning, I think would really mean a lot.
Oh, I don't discount that for sure. Right. Like there, there's obviously, Toronto's, it's funny. They're the home team, but I haven't even looked at the line. Like if they're favorite,
it's actually dead even.
Yeah. So yeah, it's not one where like if Toronto wins, I'm not going to be shocked, but I don't know. Maybe it's because there's a champ. I have a hard time always picking against a champ. Just when you think that they're not going to be good and here they are. Like Tampa Bay looked to me like a team that at times in the regular season, Frank, was kind of going through the motions a little bit.
They definitely were. My question is, they've shown the ability to flip the switch. I just, at some point, you're not going to be able to anymore.
Yeah, that's fair.
And at some point, all the hockey you've played in the last couple of years is going to catch up to you. It's a fact. Is it against the Leafs? Is it later? Is it next year? Who knows?
It is my series to watch, though, in the East. It's the one I will be watching the
closest. It's appointment viewing.
Yeah.
For the drama if they lose and for the excitement if they win.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. I think it'll be the most watched series in the East. I don't think there's any question about that. Now let's move over to the Metro Division. And of course, the number one seed, Carolina Hurricanes, the Boston Bruins are now officially, Frank, in the Metro Division in theory as they cross over. And by the way,
not a terrible place to be.
No, not terrible. I still would like to say to the NHL, if it's 4-4, can we just have teams in their own division? Much rather have Boston, Florida, Carolina, Washington, but that's just me. I don't think 1 or 2 points should be that much of a difference maker. Nonetheless, here's my upset, Frank. I have the Boston Bruins upsetting the Carolina Hurricanes in 7. And because Freddie Anderson question marks in goal, that's my thing. Goaltending, man, like Antti Raanta, I can't trust him to stay healthy, unfortunately. And maybe Freddie Anderson's ready. And if he is ready, well, that obviously, you know what? I could look like a fool. But you go into the playoffs with some concerns in goal. That to me opens up a window. The Boston Bruins have been a very good team, a much better team since they switched up and put Pasternak on the line with Hall and Halla. And, you know, you have the Bergeron-Marchand duo together with DeBrus. Their team's been much better. The Lindholm addition, I loved it at the deadline. I really think, and he didn't play a ton of games, right? Because he got banged up. So we know we haven't seen Boston with all of their blue line guys together. I like their team. There's something about Carolina. I feel they're ripe for an upset.
I have a hot take for you. This wouldn't be that much of an upset.
Yeah. Well, that's fair too.
Betting wise, they're almost dead even. And more than that, the models and everything else that you look at have this being pretty close too. You remember that stat we talked about?
Yeah, you sat close, buddy. Oh, I've been looking at it.
That close percentage. These are the top two teams in the league over the last 6 weeks. So they've played pretty well by all, you know, sort of measures in that sense. I have the Hurricanes in 7. I also think it's going to be close, but I do think Freddie Anderson will be back at some point. My sense is somewhere around game 3.
Okay.
I think it's Antti Raanta going in game 1, but they aren't afraid to go with Peter Kochetkov in game 1 if they need to. It's going to be really interesting. I just think the identity of the Canes, their depth is definitely better up front. They may not have the superstar, but they've been in a bunch of playoff battles of late, as have the Bruins. And I think their defense is better than the Bruins. And I don't even think it's close.
Yeah. Jacob Slavin, one of the most underrated defensemen in the NHL.
Right? I think it's going to be interesting to see Hampus Lindholm at full health finally for the Bruins. And to get a preview of that, what are they calling it in Boston? Hammer and Chuck? Hampus Lindholm and Charlie McAvoy. That could be a glimpse into the Bruins' future. But
I like that.
I just think the Hurricanes are a deeper team. And if they can get their goalie healthy, then I think they prevail.
I look at the history of these two teams, and obviously it's very different when you go back to the Hartford Whalers days, but the Bruins and the Hurricanes have met, 7 times since they've been in Carolina. So I like there's a little bit of history there, Frank.
Third time in the last 4 years, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep. So I think there's going to be, there's a little bit of automatic animosity built in, which I like. I think this is actually going to be a sneaky, angry series because of that, right? Like you've got a lot of the guys, like there hasn't been a ton of turnover amongst the core on either group here. So you've got a lot of guys who have played against one another in the postseason in the last few years. I like that. I think it adds a little bit more animosity to start. Obviously Brad Marchand can stir up the pot with the best of them. Mm-hmm. There's some series got to go 7, and you know what? I like this one. Just something about the Bruins lately. I don't know why. And Freddie Anderson, Frank, if he comes back, how healthy is he? Because if he's healthy, then you know what? If he was ready to start the series, I probably would have picked Carolina. But so that's how close it is. But that's why I'm leaning towards the Bruins. And, you look at like David Pastrnak and their power play can be good. And Patrice Bergeron, he can stifle anyone if you want to go head to head, right? Like he can shut down a lot of lines, and that's a big advantage.
To be fair, though, how healthy are the Bruins? I mean, Lindholm has missed a bunch of games. A bunch of guys have been out. It seems like they're getting it together at the right time in terms of their health, but they've had some question marks along the way too. And not for nothing, but I'd imagine Jeremy Swayman is the guy in net.
Yes.
Game one. So how does he react in his first playoff environment?
That's fair. Well, I look at Jack Campbell last year, first year in the playoffs. I know they lost the series, but people forget Campbell had a 934 save percentage in that 7-game series loss. So I think Swayman comes in, you know, to me, he was obviously the best rookie goalie in the National Hockey League this year. And he seems to have a little bit of swagger for them that they like. But I wouldn't be stunned if Allmark gets in a game or two.
It actually says, I'm just seeing here, I'm waiting to see what it ends up being. I'm seeing here, just looking at Twitter while we're doing this live, it says Allmark confirmed game one starter.
Oh, there you go. Well, maybe they're going with a little bit. Not that he has much, but he doesn't have much more experience at all come postseason.
No.
So that should be a fun series, man. I love 7 gamers. So hopefully we both picked in 7. That's what we agreed on. We just disagreed on the winners. So yeah. I like it, which leaves us now to one more series, the Rangers and the Pittsburgh Penguins. And honestly, of all 4 series, Frank, even though I picked Florida in 5, this is the series I'm most comfortable in. The Pittsburgh Penguins, of all the 16 playoff teams, the Pittsburgh Penguins and the LA Kings have the worst records against other playoff teams. The Penguins this season were 14-19-6. They won 14 of 39 games against playoff teams. LA won 14 of 38 against playoff bound teams. The two worst by far. And I look at Pittsburgh and the rain, like Shesterkin. I know they got Crosby and Malkin. They got all, you know, Letang, and everybody's like the last ride. And I understand that from an emotional standpoint. I just think the Rangers are very good. And they haven't, there was a little dip there in March, but back in April again, they're the best defensive team in the league. I'm taking the Rangers in this series. And I think the Rangers really control this one kind of from start to finish. I'll pick them in 6, but I won't be surprised if it's shorter.
I have the Rangers in 5, and I agree with you. I, for the life of me, cannot understand why in some sports books, the New York Rangers are the underdog.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Like, my mind is blown, and I get that, you know, they may be relying on some statistical models that help shape the line. I understand that these two teams have matched up pretty evenly on, paper in terms of some numbers. But I look at these lineups and I'm like, show me where it's close. Goal, forward, defense. Like, I realize the Penguins have experience, and there may be some twinge of an emotional component to it, but the Penguins have been absolutely running on fumes these last few weeks. They have shown no sign to me that they can be a competitive playoff team. And on top of that, there's also a lot of recent history when it comes to the playoffs that the Penguins frankly don't have the goods. So it's not like, you know, I'm talking the last couple of years, they've been out quickly for the most part. What are they seeing that I'm not? That's what I kept asking myself this weekend. What am I missing here?
Well, does the line though, because the line always changes, because if there's a lot of betting on Pittsburgh, right? So then it'll switch. So maybe that's why.
I'm talking how they opened. In some place it was mostly even, but in some places the Penguins opened as the favorite.
Yeah, that's
odd. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
So you've got the best goalie in the world starting off the series against Casey DeSmith. I think Tristan Jarry is pushing and is trying to make his way back. But how healthy is he going to be? He's dealing with a fracture in his foot. I don't know. I don't see the Penguins having the depth to compete. I really don't.
No, I got to wonder if they're just looking at the play. And by the way, Chris Letang has had a sneaky, really good season for the Pittsburgh Penguins.
He was like number 5-6 in my NARS.
Yeah, like sneaky good.
Discussion.
He's been excellent. And so, you've got Adam Fox, you've got Letang, and then you've got Panarin and Kreider. And obviously Malkin and Crosby have the better resumes. There's no question about that. But, you know, New York this season, and here's my wild card in that series, Frank. Alexis Lafreniere. I don't know if you've seen this last few months of the season. He's starting to figure it out as a young player and big guy. I look at Lafreniere. Now I know when you score 19 goals, it's not going to be a shock that the guy is productive, but I think he's going to be a big time player for the Rangers this series.
I just think all you need is one of those young guys. That's the best part.
Yeah.
One of him or Kako or someone else to step up and be the guy.
Yeah.
Just in a supporting role. Like you don't need a ton. And then how about, you know, it seems like Andrew Kopp is going to be healthy for game one. Panarin, I believe, is also healthy for game one. And Kopp has fit like a glove, man. 18 points in 16 games. I know they got some bad luck when it came to Tyler Mott. And it seems like he's going to be out a while, but still that Kopp pickup has been awesome. And Frank Vatrano has been pretty good too. Yes. 8 goals in 22 games. Like Chris Drury did some sneaky good work at the deadline.
No, the Rangers depth is very good. Like you've got a lot of experience on the Pittsburgh depth with Jeff Carter and Brian Boyle and stuff like that. But, and I know that there's, you know, the cup resumes on Pittsburgh is infinitely longer, but I think it's time for the Rangers. I think this is the start of a little bit of a run here over the next few years where the Rangers are going to be a top team, whether that results in a Stanley Cup final appearance, we'll see.
But let me give you this. I think the Rangers are going to the conference final this year.
I just want to point out something, Frank. For dailyfaceoff.com, we had to do brackets. I hate brackets because so much can change in a series. I like it, but I hate it because in the NHL, injuries can play such a key role. And there are some teams that I picked to go, like there was a, like Boston and the Rangers, who I had. I agonized. I actually sent Matt by accident twice with the wrong name because I wasn't sure who I like to win that series and get to the conference final. So trust me, because I picked Boston to upset, it wouldn't surprise me at all if the Rangers then, you know, defeated Boston.
As I like to say, play stupid games, win stupid prizes.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I like it. So we agree on the Rangers and the Panthers, and then we disagree on the other two series. You have Toronto and Carolina. I have Boston and Tampa Bay. So
at some point, the Leafs are going to slay the dragon. They're going to get over their own demons. They just
going with the odds, Frank.
They're too good. They're too good not to.
Okay. Well, hey, I'll say this. It'll be full marks for them if they knock off the 2-time defending champion. No one can say they lucked their way into the second round if that happens, for sure. So we'll split it up and let's get Tyler Ramchuk for fill in the blanks, and then we'll go to the Central and the Pacific.
Yes, a special playoff edition of Fill in the Blank delivered by DoorDash. Promo code RUNDOWNDD gets you 25% off and no delivery fees on your first order. I got 5 loaded up for you. We can be pretty quick with them, maybe go a little rapid fire style, but your first one: the series in either conference most likely to be a sweep is blank. Frank?
Yes.
Avalanche.
Okay. Jason?
Nashville's sneaky good against playoff teams, by the way. But I'm going to go...
Not without UC Saros, they're not.
That's true. That's a very true point. I am going to say... The Rangers-Pittsburgh.
Ooh, that's a spicy one. The series most likely to go 7 games is blank, Jason.
Oh, Boston-Carolina, for sure.
Really? Okay.
St. Louis,
yeah, Minnesota. That's the other one. I like it.
The answers I had written down, by the way, if anyone cares, most likely to be a sweep, I'd Calgary, Dallas. Most likely to go 7, I have Toronto, Tampa Bay as well.
I could see that too, man.
Third one: the series where the outcome is most dependent on goaltending is blank. Frank.
Oilers, Kings.
Jason.
I will say,
although Canes Bruins is a good one too.
I'm probably going with Canes and Bruins because there's question marks with Freddie Anderson. And then, you know, there's some inexperienced playoff guys in Boston.
That's fair enough. I'm going Edmonton, LA as well. Like Mike Smith has been great. Mike Smith has also had, you know, kind of that 8-10 game stretch where he was hurt, but he wasn't great. Yeah. Quick was up and down as well.
Mike Smith's been good for 2 years. It's amazing how people will focus on 5 games over 56. It's phenomenal, especially when the 5 games were all based on injury.
This one is a little bit different, but the team who has the most intimidating home crowd in the playoffs is blank. Jason?
Oh, God. That's a really good question.
There's a part of me, and maybe this is just me tying it back to like the Toronto Boston series back in the day, but the Bruins, when they get rolling and that place gets rocking, at least on TV, it always feels intense.
Yeah, you get a lot of mess holes there.
Yeah. That's such a good term. And it's so accurate. That's what's great about it. Well, the Edmonton Oilers, what are they? 13-0-1 in their last 14 home games. Like, usually
it's not that intimidating, though.
I'll say this, Frank. Edmonton's home rink used to be like it was louder at the morgue sometimes in the regular season. It's been really loud, but I'm going to go with Tampa Bay. I think Tampa Bay's home crowd, they got the biggest rink, they got the loudest fans. Tampa Bay, when they get going, that crowd is into it now. Their team's won twice, so they're right on the bandwagon there, so I'll take Tampa.
It's okay, it's good, but it's not great there. I'll say Calgary, the Sea of Red, the Red Mile.
That's a good one. Going. Yeah, the something about the old barns, right, and the Saddle Dome is certainly that. When those get really going and get fully packed, they can get wild.
I don't even think there's that many in contention for this. Like, it might be Boston. It could, like, you could make the case for the Oilers. Other than that, like, no one's like intimidated Nashville's by Denver.
I like Nashville's crowd.
Yeah, that's fair.
Wrapping it up with our points bet bonus question. We have a bracket challenge up with our friends at Points Bet Canada. I tweeted it out earlier today, and I'm hitting the retweet button on it now from the Daily Faceoff account. So you can go find it there. We have exclusive prizing for both Ontario and non-Ontario residents. There's cash up for grabs. There's tickets up for grabs. There's jerseys up for grabs as well. I'm going to share with you guys my favorite bet of the first round, and I want your thought on it. Over at PointsBet, you can bet on the top goal scorer for every single series. In Tampa Bay, Toronto, Matthews is the favorite at plus 225. Stamkos at plus 650. Braden Point at plus 700. And then Nikita Kucherov is 9-1 to lead the series in goals. This is a guy who can very easily just rattle off like 4 or 5 over a 3 or 4 game stretch. I think Kucherov will lead the Tampa Bay Toronto series in goals. Agree or disagree with me? He also, no one has scored more in the last month than Kucherov.
Well, it's hard for me to disagree. Matthews is unreal goal scorer.
Unreal. So yeah, I'm still taking Matthews anyway. No,
I'll take Kucherov because the difference is Tampa Bay's power play. And Kucherov can feast on the PP.
He absolutely can. I just 9-1 odds on Kucherov. I saw that and I was just shaking my head the whole time. I was like, this is a great spot. 9-1. That's a crazy payout. And you mentioned the power plays. Tampa Bay's power play in the last month of the season was second in the league. Toronto's PK, 31st in the NHL in that span.
Huh? You want my best points bet for round one?
Yep.
New York Rangers -1.5 wins in the series. So all they have to do is win the series in 6 or fewer games.
And it's plus 150, I think?
Plus 180.
Plus 180. There you go. Frank and or Saravali and your MJ giving you free money. That's going to be a wrap on another edition of Fill in the Blank delivered by our friends at DoorDash.
Isn't that the best part? All I said was, all you have to do is win the series in 6 or fewer.
Yeah. That's all you have to do. That's not a big deal. Just got to win the series, guys. This is great. Like, easy peasy, lemon squeezy, as my son likes to say. So, now let's get to the Central Division. Of course, the only division that had 5 teams in the postseason. Dallas for today is now a Pacific Division team, but we'll start the Nashville Predators. Had a 4-0 lead 7 minutes into their final game of the season in Arizona. They lose 5-4 and now have to play the Colorado Avalanche. Yikes. Frank, you mentioned no UC Saros. Big Save Dave is going to have to be multiple Big Save Dave, I think, for the
Preds. Or else it's going to be Connor Ingram pretty quickly.
Yeah,
there's not a very long leash on David Riddick to start the series.
Okay, that's fair. How much does the absence, like, does UC Saros' absence say 0% for you in this series for Nashville?
Yes. Maybe 1%.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing it. I think they're so over. I mean, yes, they've had some great seasons from Matt Duchene and Mikael Granlund has been excellent. And so has Philip Forsberg, I just think they're so over reliant in their style of play on Roman Josi that if you can find a way to shut him down, it takes so much out of their game. And I know he does a lot of different things, but all like you can tell watching their game that they look for him so much that if you find a way to close him out or box him out, he's and make him a non-factor. I don't even think if they had Saros, they have a chance to win the series.
Well, it does illustrate how valuable that Roman Josi has been for that team. It's phenomenal what he's done offensively, just, you know, all the minutes he plays for them. I would agree with you, Frank. The other thing is Nathan MacKinnon is one of the few players who's a big time point producer in the regular season, but then gets goes
better.
Just amps it up because it's hard. Like if you're a 1.2 point per game player in the regular season, it's hard to be better in the postseason. But MacKinnon's one of those rare guys who does it. And I think he's going to go scorched earth again in this series. I won't be surprised if the guy, you know, we're sitting after four games, five games in the series and Nathan MacKinnon has 8 or 9 points. It won't surprise me whatsoever. You know, Rantanen, Kadri, you know, Makar's healthy, Devin Taves now who's missed like 16 regular season games. The one thing that Nashville has going for them is that they've played the top teams very well. They've had good success against Colorado this year. They're a big physical team. That they're going to continue that style, but the injury of UC Saros to me makes it much more difficult. I thought they might be able to, you know, to upset in a few, but now I see him. I'll give them one game, but I'll say the Avs in five.
Yeah, I'm with you. I got Abs in five. I'm just not seeing a path for Nashville. That stat is amazing. That game one will be the first game the entire season long that the Abs have every player healthy.
Yeah.
And in their lineup.
Yeah. Crazy.
And, you know, it's funny. I'm not going to spoil it totally, but I don't have the Abs getting out of the second round.
Okay. Well, that's awesome.
And so we'll talk our full bracket toward the end, but I was really torn. I'm in this playoff pool with a bunch of other media people. And we do a random lottery and I got the number one overall pick and I didn't really know what to do because I don't know how deep the Abs are going to go, but I took MacKinnon anyway, for the reason that you mentioned. Just that he's the rare guy that somehow finds a way to transform his game and get to the next level when it's harder than ever.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good on who you would take number one overall in playoff pools this year. I like that. We might have to get into that. Let's now go to what I believe is easily the most difficult series to pick in the West. No question in my mind. Not much separates the St. Louis Blues and the Minnesota Wild. Both teams have been absolutely on fire heading into the stretch here. Minnesota ends up with home ice advantage. And ultimately, Frank, that to me was the deciding factor. I looked at so many numbers here. We might see all four goalies in this series, and not because a goalie plays poorly per se. I just think both teams like their goaltenders. And, you know, Fleury, Talbot, you got Huso. Of course, you know, he's got no playoff experience. You got Binnington. And so maybe St. Louis says, hey, he can turn back the clock a little bit for us. The Blues, they rely a lot on Colton Parayko. Justin Falk has had a sneaky good offensive season. He doesn't play a ton of hard minutes, but when he's on the ice, he's very effective in certain matchups. But man, Minnesota, the additions they made at the deadline, Bill Guerin, they are a tough team. They're physical, they're deep. Now, the only thing is I haven't seen an update on Foligno.
He's in.
He's in.
He's good to go.
He's in now.
He practiced on Sunday, so there was a mild surprise, and it seemed, you know, Dean Evason said if he's good to go, he's in. So yeah. You're practicing Sunday, you're probably in.
Because he just brings a lot of energy.
That line is awesome.
Oh man, there's so many players on both those teams that I really like. I'm going to
Greenway, Erickson, Ek, Foligno. Oh. That's a monster line.
And you throw in Nick Delorier, who's been a really good addition to that team.
Jacob Middleton on the back end is good.
Big physical. I love that. I think this is going to be the old Chuck Norris division. Frank, it was just back in the black and blue division. Remember the Norris division when you had St. Louis, Chicago, and Toronto? God, they just used to beat the hell out of each other. It was awesome. I think this is going to be a physical, hard series, but I'm taking the Wild in seven.
I am also taking the Minnesota Wild, and I have them in seven, and I have the Minnesota Wild going on to win the Stanley Cup.
Oh, bold. Bold.
It is and it isn't. Like, they were the fifth best team in the league this year.
Yes.
They've been the second hottest team since the trade deadline. And I just think they're big, heavy up front. They're maybe missing a little bit of that on their back end, but they're pretty mobile. And I think their goalie situation, you can't go wrong with either guy in net, Cam Talbot or Marc-Andre Fleury. I think they've got a little bit of swagger to them. And when they play with their identity, I think they're a really tough out. And I think that they beat the Blues in round one and obviously give the Avs all they can handle and more in round two.
Yeah, you know what?
In saying that, this is why it's a bold pick, is that they may not win the first round series.
Yeah, it's very possible. You're right. Like, they're not a heavy favorite by any stretch of the
imagination. It's a disastrous bracket. that's the potential, at least. That it's just you can just throw it out after the first five or six games.
Well, I'll say this about the Wild, because of their cap penalties and dead cap space the next few years, I really hope for their fans' sake they have a deep run, because they're going to be playing with a big handicap the next few years when you got $14 and $12 million in dead cap space. Like, that's really hard to overcome. You're going to have some of the best bargain deals in the league to compete with top end teams. And so, you know what? I think Bill Guerin kind of recognized that a little bit, and that's why he loaded up at the deadline. I like the Wild team, Frank, and they got two really good goaltenders. Maybe we see you know, a Pittsburgh version of the Wild this year, where you got Fleury and Talbot, like you had Fleury and Murray in 16 and 17. So
any team that wins 22 out of their last 25 games, heading down the stretch, like, you're doing something right.
And Minnesota is very good against playoff teams, Frank. Like, to me, I look at the team's records. Like, it's funny. All these teams who are in the playoffs have very good records against the non-playoff teams. Right. Like, some of them dominant, right? Like the LA Kings, to me, are the biggest. The reason the LA Kings are in the playoffs, they won 30 of 44 games against non-playoff teams. They went 37-7
against the playoff, knock against the Pacific.
It's not just Pacific teams, though, because it's LA was dominant against the non-playoff teams across the league. Right. But you look at look at Dallas. Dallas was 26-13-4 against non-playoff teams. LA was
five non-playoff teams in your own division.
Yeah.
It's the only division in the league that only has three teams in.
Yeah, but still count the other. So there's still how many non-playoff teams in the other divisions? 16. Or 12.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is you have a built-in advantage in your schedule, in that you play your division teams more than you play your conference teams and the non-conference teams, which means if you beat in that division the non-playoff teams, you're going to get in.
Yeah. Well, I was looking at, you look at St. Louis, Minnesota, but LA, the reason I don't like the Kings in the playoffs, they haven't been good against any playoff teams around the league. They've only won 14 of 38 games against playoff teams. And that's why I think I see the easiest series is, we won't do it next, we'll do it last, but let's go to Calgary and Dallas, which I think we can all agree, Frank, the most disappointing thing about the Arizona beating Nashville was it robbed us of a Nashville Calgary playoff series, because I don't know if you saw their final regular season meeting. It was electric, physical goals. And obviously Saros got injured, but if Saros was healthy,
once Saros went out, it took the wind out of the sails for me. They played each other twice in the final 2 weeks, and both games were epic.
Yeah.
And it would have been an awesome playoff series that I think the Preds had a real chance to win.
Yeah. But I still think it would have, like, the physicality still was going to be there, even if Saros wasn't in goal. Right. And now, like, I think Calgary's going to walk all over Dallas.
I think Dallas is mentally spent. I think they have nothing left. That collapse that they had against the Coyotes, and I know the Preds experienced the same thing one night later. No bueno. No bueno. I don't see it for the Stars. They've got one line. I don't know that you can even make the argument that they're a two-line team. I like their back end, and I like Jake Oettinger, but I don't know that any one of those things are enough to overcome a pretty well-rounded Calgary team.
No, I'm taking the Flames in five.
I got the Flames in five as well.
Yeah.
I could see that being a sweep.
And no offense, Dallas fans, there's not a matchup where I look and say, okay, here's a big advantage for Dallas. Like, I don't see it. right? The only, you know, them and the Flames did win the same amount of games against playoff teams. They each won 20. The difference was the Flames lost 7 in overtime slash shootouts, right? So they got the extra points out of it. But Dallas, I really like Jason Robertson, man. Like he, you know, the only way Dallas can win
Robertson
is
Robertson, hints Pavelski. It's a great line. It's their only line. That's the problem.
But they're going to try, like, I wonder, will they go head to head against the Flames top line or not? But I think the only way Dallas can succeed is if they find a way to take Johnny Gaudreau out of the series. Right.
Yeah. I just think the Flames have a chance, even if Johnny Gaudreau is a non-factor. I just think they're that deep. They're going to get the contributions from the Toffoli group. And, you know, I'd imagine at some point, Cal Yarncroke is going to poke his head through with the Flames and get it together. And, you know, their back end has been productive. Like, how many people know that Rasmus Anderson had a 50-point season on the blue line? Shillington was really good. They've got stout defense in Zadorov and Gudbranson. Markstrom has been ridiculous. Like, I think even if Johnny Gaudreau doesn't score, the Flames win that series.
Okay. Now let's get to the LA Kings and the Oilers. Who do you like?
I like the Oilers in 6. There was some chatter or conversation over the last few days saying that the Kings may be one team that could pull off an upset in round one. I personally don't see it, not without Drew Doughty. It'll be really interesting to watch the matchup game. You know, who gets the bulk of the McDavid assignment? Is it Kopitar or is it Deneau? We talked all season long about how Deneau would free up Kopitar. How do you view it? Do you put the Selke winner in Kopitar on McDavid's line and then say, okay, Deneau, it's you, it's up to you to help produce offense? Or do you do it the other way around? Put Deneau on him and then say, Kopitar, go out and try and score as much as you can.
Well, Kopitar is going to go up against Draisaitl. So, that's the advantage Edmonton has, is they've got the best 1-2 center punch in the NHL. And right now you have Evander Kane and Connor McDavid who are lighting everything up. The Edmonton Oilers, since Jay Woodcroft took over, Frank, the only team with a better record than the Oilers is the Florida Panthers. The Oilers and the Flames are tied with 7, you know, they're 20. They've each played 38 games. Edmonton's 126. Calgary's 125. Calgary has 2 OT losses. Edmonton has 3. They have the same amount of points. They have the same points percentage. It's only the Florida Panthers that are better than them. You look at the Oilers, the big thing where the Oilers have struggled for years was 5-on-5 goals against. And Jay Woodcroft and Dave Manson have come in. The players have bought in. The Oilers' goals against, their top 5 in goals for and top 5 in goals against since Woodcroft took over. Honestly, you mentioned Drew Doughty, and that's the key. The Oilers and Kings have met 3 times in the last few months with Woodcroft. Edmonton's 3-0 in those games. They've scored 14 goals in 3 games. I don't see how the LA Kings can shut down the Edmonton Oilers. And the other thing is the Edmonton Oilers come in, Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Darnell Nurse, who's going to be healthy. He'll play in game 1. They're still pissed off from what happened last year in Winnipeg, where I thought the Oilers beat themselves as much as Winnipeg beat them. If you go back and look at how many untimely, unforced errors the Oilers made that led directly to goals, they lost 3 games in overtime, 2 of them on bad giveaways. I think they dominate this series against LA, and I think LA's defense gets really exposed and the Oilers win in 5.
See, the only thing that gives me pause is exactly what you just said about the Oilers beating themselves. Like, don't you have to allow for that possibility to happen again?
Nah, they haven't done it in 3 months. Like, they looked like they've learned from it, right? Like,
3 months, though, that's not like 3 years.
That's all you can
gauge. I'm with you. I think the Oilers win the series. I think it's fair to have questions about what Oiler team we see.
Yeah, different coach, right? And keep in mind, Kane, Fogle, Hyman, their 3 left wingers weren't on the team last year in the playoffs. Duncan Keith wasn't on the team. Cody Ceci wasn't on the team. Brett Kulak, like those are 6 of, you know, your top probably 12 guys in ice time. That's a significant difference to your team, right? Yeah. There's tons of playoffs experience with Keith. Brett Kulak went to the Stanley Cup final last year. I just think Edmonton's a very different team. And LA's of all the first round, I think Pittsburgh and LA were the two teams that if I was an opposing playoff team, I'd want to meet in the first round. And I think the Rangers and Edmonton probably got the two easiest ones. Dallas and Calgary is probably a close second/third as far as easy first round matchups. I just think this is a favorable matchup for Edmonton. And if Drew Doughty's in, Frank, that makes a big difference because he adds so much fire to that LA Kings team that that it might alter things. But I don't see it. I think Edmonton really controls this series. And all the numbers that I've seen under Woodcroft, their penalty kill, their power play, their 5-on-5 play, the order is just, you know, they don't beat themselves anymore. At least they haven't under Woodcroft. And there's a different aura around that team. Woodcroft has come in. He seems to communicate better. There's so many players that just like how he's found ways, even though the minutes haven't changed, like his depth guys don't play any more minutes than the depth guys under Dave Tippett, but they all seem to be liking it more. It's a weird thing. I can't understand why, because the minutes played aren't any different, but he's convinced the guys that they're more valuable to the team.
So, okay. So we got a couple minutes left in the pod. Let's run through our brackets. So we'll go backwards now. We'll start with the Battle of Alberta then, since we both have the Oilers and Flames advancing.
Yeah. See, I picked Calgary in 7 in my bracket, and I was already questioned the minute I could easily see that going either way. Then I have Colorado and Minnesota. So I have Calgary and Colorado in the West Conference Final.
Okay, I have the Flames in 6, and I have the Wild knocking off the Abs in 7.
Nice. I had Abs in 6, Flames in 7.
Okay, so let's move to the East. We were in consensus that the Rangers will face off against you have the Bruins, I have the Hurricanes.
Yeah.
Who you got?
I have... Florida beats Tampa in 6 and the Rangers beat Boston in 6. Or no, sorry, Boston beats the Rangers, and then I have Florida over Boston in the final.
Okay. I have the Panthers beating the Leafs in 7 and the Rangers beating the Hurricanes in 6. So that sets up a conference final for me of Rangers, Panthers. And I have the Panthers advancing to the Stanley Cup final for the first time since 1996 in 5 games. What do you have in your East final?
I have the Panthers taking on the Boston Bruins, and I have, the Rangers. No, the Bruins. God, the Bruins. See, I got my picks mixed up.
Make up your mind.
I'm making up 2 emails here. I'm looking at my emails to Matt Larkin when I had to send in my bracket, and I had the Panthers winning in 6, and then I have the Panthers beating Colorado in 7 games in the Stanley Cup final.
Okay, so I've got the Panthers and Wild going head to head in the final. I've got
the Wild winning.
The Wild in 6. And I've got, we're going to call this cup final the Mike Russo Bowl.
I was just going to say.
Both teams that he covered, Minnesota and Florida, his worlds colliding.
Two like expansion teams from the last 30 years. Interesting. Hey, anything's happened, man. We've seen it every year. No one thought the Montreal Canadiens were getting the Stanley Cup final. I never mock anyone's bracket because honestly, no one knows. That's why it's fun.
That's the best part. And I feel like this year more than ever, I see more chalk picks and I'm like, why is that? We know every year there's something wacky that no one sees coming. Why do you not have any upsets in your bracket?
I don't have a ton. I have Boston.
I don't mean you. I just mean the general public. I've seen all these brackets coming out. I'm like, we know every year there's something absolutely kooky. Why not?
I'll ask you one question. Dallas, Nashville, LA, Pittsburgh. Which team, if you had to pick one, can upset?
If I had to pick one, it would be LA.
Okay. All right.
I just have a weird feeling about that. I think the Oilers win, but I'm wondering if it's going to be a lot closer than we imagine.
Okay. I think Edmonton really controls that series. But I will admit very openly that I really want a Battle of Alberta There hasn't been one in 31 years, Frank.
Like, you watched my bullets.
Yeah, you watched the
rivalry. I'm not going anywhere in the first round because I'm saying we're going to have a battle of Alberta in the second round, and I want to be at all seven games.
Yeah, well, I will be. So I'm looking forward to it. Like, I love rivalry games. Like, that's why I would have loved to see Toronto Boston again. Like, that's and like, if you would have had Tampa Florida and Toronto Boston in the first round, that'd have been unreal. Would have loved it.
None of these first round matchups, like, really from a rivalry perspective, are like, there's going to be good series, but none of them really put it over the top where I was like, you know what? We got to be there. We got to
come to that. Boston and Carolina in their recent history might be that one. I just based on that.
The fun of the first round, I can't wait, is just parking your ass on the couch and flipping back and forth.
I love it.
So, all night long for 2 weeks.
Hydrate, folks. Have a lot of water. Get some chips. Frank, have you had the spicy ketchup chips yet? They just came out. They're so good. Not. Miss Vicky's. Oh, unbelievable. Game changer, Frank. Right. Oh, and by the way, do you have an air fryer?
I do.
We bought an air fryer last week. I did steak on the air fryer.
Yep.
It's one of the greatest steaks I've ever
had. That's actually how I cook my steaks.
Yeah. And we did chicken. I've never, like, usually I would buy box chicken wings or whatever. We bought just fresh chicken wing, spiced them all up ourselves, put them in last night. Unbelievable. And they're not deep fried. So they're healthier for you. I'm not a big kitchen gadget guy, but I'm telling you, the air fryer is an absolute game changer.
I have one of those Ninjas and
that's
actually how I cook my steak. I don't own a grill. I cook my steaks on that.
Chicken? Have you done chicken on it?
I have. Yeah, I've done everything.
Okay.
Everything's good.
I just got it, man. I'm just like,
the best part is you just throw it on there. Yeah. You know, not to use the old set it and forget it, but you close the lid, you use the little meat stick, the temperature thing.
Yes.
It literally tells you when it's done.
I know. Yeah. It's idiot. All you
do is, like, take it off. Yeah.
I'm like, the chefs must hate it because a moron like me can make a good steak now. Frankie, have yourself an awesome week. We'll talk to you on Friday, where I'm sure there'll be a few series that already are going the way we didn't think, which will make it fun.
Thanks for listening to the DFO Rundown with Saravalli and Gregor. Keep it locked on dailyfaceoff.com and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode. Delivered by DoorDash.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Are you ready for playoff hockey? Well, listen up, because I've got something for you. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of the questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. Simple, right? But there's more. You gotta decide if the total for the game is going to go over or under a certain amount, and the strategy doesn't stop there. Next up, you're picking which player is going to light the lamp first, and finally, you gotta predict which period in the game is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That is all up to you. Now let's talk prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. That's right. Treat yourself to some nation gear or even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the round winners, cash money. Cold, hard cash. We're putting real dough in your pockets simply for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. It's game time, folks. Head over to games.dailyfaceoff.com now and prove your puck prowess.